So this morning, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 15, and also a little, we're going to dive into 16 as well. And I believe that God has a word on the past and the present and the future. Looking at Abraham, looking at Sarah, looking at their lives and what God did in them. The thing that I first love about Abraham and Sarah are that they are just like you and me. They did not get it right all the time. In fact, it seems like if God was going to pick somebody to, you know, to be the father of his nation, to be the grandpa, a lot of them until Jesus, that you'd pick somebody who had it put together, right? They knew what they were doing. They listened and they obeyed and they had it all right. Abraham or Abram and Sarai, they did not have it all together. They did crazy things. Things that in our day and age, you'd be like, what is wrong with them? That's worse than whatever American kid throw at you. Like society, I mean, it's just wild, the different things. The not necessarily always being truthful, the not always waiting on Jesus or waiting on God to answer them in the way that he had called them to. And we're going to look at the past, the present, and the future of what that looks like. So I want to jump in this morning thinking of God's dream in Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and the number of stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. God gave Abraham a dream. God gave him a vision of what the future would be. In Genesis chapter 12 and 13, 15, and 16, right here, God told him he would be the father of a great nation. God told him here that you could look at the stars in the night sky. And if you've been out in the country, where, or maybe out in like a Gatlinburg, Tennessee, or somewhere even more remote, where it is dark, there are more stars than you can imagine if you grow up in a city where you think there's a few in the sky. No, 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 no. There are billions of stars in the sky. And God said, you will be the father of a nation like this. And not through someone else, not through someone who's just a part of your home, but your offspring. You are given this. You are blessed. But the thing that jumps out at me before that in the start of it is that he says, do not be afraid. I am your shield. An exceedingly great reward. When we think about this thought, like, that's good. Obviously, praise the Lord. But he didn't just throw out some random things. Abraham had just had a moment where he had to defeat a five kings sort of a conglomeration to be safe. He had a moment where he had to leave what would have been his home or Sodom in a great blessing or a bounty that it could have been there. He had to leave and he had to go. And God spoke to him, I am your shield. I will protect you. Those kings are not going to come and beat you. Nothing is going to destroy you. I am with you and I am your reward. You don't need what Sodom would give you. You don't need what people would give you. You don't need what would be something that isn't right for you. I am your shield and I am your reward right where you are. These words were important for Abraham. These words were vital and the importance of what they meant for him, what they meant for his future. But even in them, Abraham was very honest with the Lord. Now, somebody that when I think of honesty with the Lord, I think of Pastor Dennis. Forever, Pastor Dennis, he will talk to God. He'll talk about talking to God, and he doesn't, you know, sugarcoat anything. He'll just be like, Lord, why? Or Lord, what? Or Lord, what's going on? Right? And I love Abraham's honesty is very similar. You say this, Lord, but I'm too old. I can't have children. There's no way. And now just someone in my house is going to be the heir of all that I have. He's honest with him. And I believe there's times in our life and our walk with Jesus where honesty can be a good thing. Not honesty that says, Lord, you aren't, or Lord, you can't, or I don't believe. That's different. But honesty that says, Lord, I just don't see. I don't understand. I don't get how it makes any sense. Abram, in this moment, he said, Lord, I don't see. How can this be? I don't have an heir. You've given me no offspring. And God speaks to him in a very clear way. One who will come from your own body shall be your heir. One who will come from your own body. He says, you are going to have a son. If you're Abraham and you say, that's impossible. I'm past that age. My wife is past that age. Like, this is not something that's going to take place. But Lord, you have spoken. You have given the dream. You have laid it out multiple times. You have confirmed what you are doing. And he had an option. He had a choice that he would make, that he had to make. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12 says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And I believe this faith and this patience is something that we want no part of. No, thank you, Lord. I want a dream and a vision. I want you to call me into church campus launching, and I want to see it happen. And then next year, I want to have planted our second one. Like, that's me. I want to have five in the first 3 years. And so often, God says, hold on. In fact, all through the Bible, we read stories of great faith and great courage, and it feels like if we just read it and you don't pay attention, that it's like a one-day thing. Like, God spoke, it happened. God spoke, it happened. And over and over and over, the pattern throughout the Bible is that he gives a dream and a vision, and then you have to be patient, and you have to wait, and you have to say yes to the Lord over and over again, and you've got to believe him, and you've got to walk with him. And by the time that they're now 20 years, or 5, or 10, or 20, or 30 years down the road, God brings about his dream in his timing in a powerful way that changes everything. But not as often is it a one-week experience from all-night prayer time to dream or vision to reality of that coming to pass. We walk with him. He is the dream giver. He is the one, because it's his dream if we're putting ourselves in the right place. It's his dream that says, look at the heavens, look at the stars. Look, this is how your family line will be. You know, Abram, of everything he did, the thing that he got right, the thing he figured out, the thing that he knew, is when it all comes down, he could say, or it could be said about him, and he believed in the Lord. How I read it, he didn't believe that he could have children, because he said it a couple times. He had no clue how it could happen. He had no clue what it could look like, but it gets down to, Lord, I don't know, but I believe. I believe in you. I believe in what you've said. I believe in who you are. And I don't have to get the way. I don't have to have the route. I don't have to have the understanding. I simply believe in you. And because he believed in the Lord, the word says he accounted it to him for righteousness. There's something powerful and special about a people of God, about an individual who will say, I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in what you're saying. I believe in how you're moving, and I'm open to you. No matter what it takes, no matter what it costs, no matter what the delay in my mind, not in his, he doesn't delay, he's not late. We just don't see it always like he does. Lord, no matter what, I am in. And today, church, for Radiant Life and for you and for me, don't lower your dream to match your circumstances. Upgrade your convictions to match your, which is his, destiny, if you're walking his dream. Raise what you are believing to match what he has called you to do, to match what starts in his word, to live like he's called you to live, not like someone else, not like a family member or a friend or a society or culture would say, but Lord, first I'm going to live for you and your word. And then when he comes and he says, look at the stars in the sky, so shall your offspring be. Lord, I believe. I don't know how. I don't know what it looks like. And guess what? We don't have to know. But I believe. And all of a sudden, I raise my outlook. My conviction matches what he is doing, not what I understand, not what my circumstances might say. Because it's God's dream. When we think of his dream, that second thing we've mentioned a few times is God's timing. God's timing is rarely our own, right? It's rarely our own. Every once in a while, praise the Lord, it's like a kabam, it's an instant thing. But so often there's a process, there's a walk, there's a revelation that we continue to walk in. And in Genesis chapter 16, we see that Sarai decides, you know what? I don't think this is going to happen. So she comes up with a plan to say, I'm going to give Abram, my servant, and they can have a child, and therefore that lineage can be carried forward. Which in our day and age, this is like, what? That's crazy. In their day and age, it was normal. It wasn't like a crazy thing. But it also was not the design that God had given. It wasn't the dream God had given. It wasn't, I would say, even right to do, because it's not what God set up, the principles that had been laid out. Abraham agreed. Hagar, they conceived. They were together. They conceived. And all of a sudden, there became a problem that Sarai became despised in her eyes. That when we jump in to circumstances or situations, when we decide we have to help God because God isn't doing good enough, there's always problems, rifts, issues that come up, always. And when you think about it, as I was reading, Ginsberg quotes a Jewish tradition saying that before they came to live in the Promised Land, Abram and Sarai regarded their childlessness as a punishment for not living in the land. But now they were in the land for 10 years, and they still had no children. So I probably felt it was time to do something. Perhaps she thought along the lines of the old unbiblical, not from the word, but proverb, God helps those who help themselves. And it's so easy to put ourselves in a place where it's like, God's not doing it, so I am going to do it. God has not come through like I want him to come through, so I'm going to make it happen. This doesn't mean we don't work hard. It doesn't mean that we're not faithful, of course. It doesn't mean we don't do the things that are on our part. But then we say, Lord, I'm going to walk in your path. I'm not going to take a different path. I'm not going to vary from your path because I don't understand what you're doing, or I don't understand how you are going to bring it to pass. Abraham, in the end, let Sarai send Hagar away and this child. There became an issue, there became a problem, a terribly complicated and difficult situation. And that's what happens when we say, God, I want your dream, but I want it in my timing. It gets complicated, it gets difficult, it gets hard. And we say, Lord, I'm going to do it my way. And all of a sudden, I see that there's problems and situations and issues. And today, I believe that God would even speak to some folks in the room that you know you want the dream he has for you, but you want it in your way, or you're trying it yourself. You're trying to kind of twist God to do what you want for you instead of you relying on him. Today, I believe God would speak to us. The dream is good if it's God's dream. We have to wait for his timing. We have to be patient. We have to look at the principles of Scripture and say, Lord, I don't care if it takes 5 years or 10 years or 20 years. I'm going to be faithful to continue to say yes, to continue to say yes, to see what you've called me to do and to be obedient in it. We can't take matters into our own hands because he's the dream giver and it's God's timing. We must trust him. We must wait for him. And we must experience his blessing. And that's the only way that it can happen, as we trust God, as we wait for God's timing and experience his blessing. This morning, as I think about the season that we are in as a church, and that means church, by the way, isn't the name. Church is us, the people. That means us. Because we're believing this year in the fall, we're going to be launching a campus, which means we're believing 50 to 75 people are going to go from here to help launch this campus. We're believing that God is going to then have to do what? Raise up leaders, raise up people. We need to see more people come to know Jesus at Radiant Life Church, because if we don't, we're going to have 10 people here in 2030 with 10 campuses, right? No, that's not what it's going to be. We're going to raise up leaders. We're going to see people come to know God. But it will only happen as we, his church, Say, God, we've waited. We dream individually and as a collective, and now it's your timing. And in your timing, I'm going to take a step like I've never taken before. I'm going to move to a new place like I've never been before. That's why we are praying. That's why we are fasting. That's why we're saying, Lord, you do your thing. That's why we're doing the crazy all-night prayer meeting. And who knows? I doubt it will be our last one that we do. Right? God is moving and he's speaking, but it comes down to us. The church, are we going to let what he's done in the past move us into a present and a future that changes our area of the world? Or do we just sit by and say, this is good. We like where we are. A few months ago, we had a board meeting, maybe been a year ago now, and started really laying out some of these dreams and these plans. And I can be honest, Pastor Dave mentioned, you know what would be really easy at Radiant Life Church? Keep doing what we're doing. This is easy. This is really fun. Like, it's easy. And you know, every time I think of just coming and having church and coming and even praying and we do all these things and giving to missions and not going into that dream, man, it's not fun. It is not fun. You know what is fun? Is just saying, Lord, we're going to say yes to you and in my life, in your life as a church. We're going to see what happens. And we're believing that in 10 years, 2,500 people will be in Radiant Life campuses that did not know you before because of what we were willing to sacrifice, what we were willing to give, what we were willing to do to say, Lord, I'm in. I'm in with what you're doing. I'm in with where you're moving. I'm in with whatever you say. And in your timing, Lord, I've got it. I'm in because I don't have to worry about it. We're going to see. Obviously, God followed through in Abraham's life. And God will follow through in your life. He will follow through in your life. But it's a matter of, Lord, am I going to say yes to you? It's his dream. It's not your dream. It's his dream. It's what he wants to do, and it's in his timing. So as we close today, I just want to encourage you. What dream has God put in your heart? What dream has God put in your life that today, on Sunday morning here in 2021, you say, Lord, I'm still waiting. I'm still believing. I don't know what it looks like, but Lord, I want someone to say, just like for Abraham, he believed. She believed. And today, that's all you have to do is believe him and walk in him, have faith in him. Because you know, Abraham, he didn't have a law. He wasn't to law yet. He didn't have circumcision and what was a big part of Israelite culture. He didn't have any of that stuff yet. But what he had was a belief in God that accounted to him as righteousness. And today, church, that's what God is calling for you. I believe you. I walk in you. I say yes to you. And that means my life is not going to be what it was last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It's going to be what you've called me in your timing with your dream. Church, that means this year we need to see an outpouring of his spirit. We need to pray like never before. We need to see more people come to know him. We have to not be the church on Sunday morning, but we need to be the church on Monday through Saturday where we're like, Lord, outside of these walls, use me. Outside of these walls that we're believing for miracles, for healings, for people to be set free. I'm believing that weekly, you guys come and say, this week, my boss gave their life to the Lord. Someone that works for me or someone I sell to or someone in my community or just someone at Kroger who I felt God wanted me to speak to, they gave their life to Jesus because I went up and I was bold. Church, it's time to let his dream, what he spoke, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that starts right here, where you live, in your city, in your community, in your neighborhood. As we close today, what's the dream in your life? Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's something from a long time ago that you're praying that they would come to know Jesus. Maybe it's something that no one else even knows about. Today, would you give him your dreams? Would you offer him yourself that someone can say, he believed, she believed, and it was accounted to them as righteousness. So Lord, we worship you today and we thank you for your move. We thank you, God, for a past, Lord, in this church that leads us to say, come on, the future is bright. We cannot wait for what you're gonna do. But Lord, we're gonna say yes in your timing. We're gonna say yes in your way. And Lord, this morning, I pray for each individual, whether they're online this morning, whether they're in this room, God, I pray that they would hear you, they would experience your voice, they would know you and, God, dreams and visions that you've placed in their hearts, or maybe some you're birthing even now, God. Lord, I pray that we would all be able to say, and they would be said of us, they believed, they believed, they believed, and it was accounted to them as righteousness. They believed, and because of their patience, because of their waiting and the timing, something happened that was on way beyond them or what they could do. And not because they were perfect, just like Abraham, but because they believed. Lord, today we offer you all of us, and we say your dream in our lives. That's what we pray, Lord, your dream in our lives and your timing, God. And Lord, we believe that we're going to see revival. We believe for 2,500 disciples in the next 10 years. God, we believe that you're going to do it. And we're going to need campuses more than we can imagine, God, because of the people that are coming to know you, the people that need you. We believe that we're going to be able to give millions of dollars to missions, Lord, because we're simply saying yes to the next step that you lay before us. Yes to the dream and the timing that you've laid before us, God. We worship you. We praise you. Individuals today, God, bless them. Keep them. Lord, I pray that your face would shine upon them in 2021, God, that it would be a powerful year. A powerful year of personal Bible study, of personal relationship with you and communion with you, God, and of corporate, our radiant family and the global church, making a difference in our world, seeing revival of hearts and lives take place, Jesus. We love you. We thank you, and we praise you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I just want to remind you, tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock, Facebook Live. Tuesday morning, 7 o'clock, in this room. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, in this room, as well as on Facebook Live. We're going to be praying, seeking God, and we want you to join with us. And that Monday morning Facebook Live, every week, we're going to have scripture passages to read every day, and I encourage you, post comments, post encouragement, post what God's speaking to you in the Word, not only on Monday, but maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all through the week as well. Let God speak to you. Let him move in you, because if we know him and we walk in him, then one more for Jesus is just a natural thing. It's just a natural overflow of our life, and we're going to see God do amazing things. Love you all. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus. Have a good one.